It's been a stunning start to the UEFA Champions League knockout stages. On Tuesday, we saw perfection from Paris Saint-Germain. Meanwhile, Dortmund were denied in Lisbon.
Headed down, and it's sent in the end. And Benfica take the lead right at the start of the second half through Kostas Mitroglou.
Then on Wednesday, it was brilliant Bayern in Bavaria.
Müller onto his left foot, great finish. Thomas Müller. They have blown Arsenal away in this second half. Bayern 5, Arsenal 1.
And there was a comeback win for the holders against Napoli.
Oh, and thundered in! Sensational goal from Casemiro! 3-1, Real Madrid!
You'll hear reaction from key players and head coaches, including Arjen Robben, Unai Emery and Luis Enrique, as we analyse the week's action right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by UEFA.com's European football expert, Chris Parrott. Chris, we've missed the music, but we've missed the goals and the drama even more.
We certainly have, and three clubs very, very happy after their first leg. Big leads, had five goals on Tuesday, 10 on Wednesday, some brilliant strikes, Rob. And I think a week when some of the real superstars of the UEFA Champions League, the likes of Robert Lewandowski and Angel Di Maria, really came alive to give their respective sides every chance now of making the quarterfinals.
Let's remind you of the scores then from the week's action. Round of 16 first leg ties. Tuesday, Paris Saint-Germain 4, Barcelona 0. Benfica 1, Borussia Dortmund 0. And on Wednesday, Bayern 5, Arsenal 1. Real Madrid 3, Napoli 1. Well, we'll begin with that astonishing performance by Paris Saint-Germain against Barcelona, which was watched for Match Day Live by Richard Kaufman.
It is Di Maria, and it's the opening goal for Paris Saint-Germain. Di Maria slides on his knees. It's no more than they deserved. Verratti is Paris Saint-Germain with it back again. Plays it out to Draxler. Julian Draxler. Welcome to the UEFA Champions League with Paris Saint-Germain. 2-0. Dreamland. Angel Di Maria.
A stunning first leg result for Paris Saint-Germain and their head coach, Unai Emery, who was quick to say that despite the 4-0 scoreline, this tie is not over.
The only feeling I have is that the team has made a massive effort against a strong team like Barcelona, but also the individual performances of our players to react and to respond. They showed it all over the pitch. But I continue to have a lot of respect towards Barcelona, and my message to the players was clear. There are still 90 minutes to go, and we know that we're going to be under a lot of pressure there. 90 minutes is a long time.
UEFA.com reporter for the game, Chris Burke, says this is destined to be one of those I was there nights for Paris Saint-Germain fans. Chris, I feel like we've had this sort of big epiphany night for Paris Saint-Germain before, the night they've arrived as a UEFA Champions League force, but it seems like that was the real deal against Barcelona.
It felt different, didn't it? I mean, the round of 16 hasn't been the issue. They've beaten Chelsea a number of times. It's been going beyond the quarterfinals, which is ultimately why Laurent Blanc, despite all his domestic success, was let go in the summer. They brought in Unai Emery, who has masterminded Sevilla's UEFA Europa League triumphs because of his European pedigree. Well, that was his first big test, and boy, did they pass it. We'll speak about Barcelona, because they were very disappointing. Luis Enrique admitted as much. I've never seen them as outplayed as that, I don't think. Emery's tactics were absolutely spot on. They totally overran them in midfield. Their high pressing was simply too much for Barcelona. And we know the quality that Paris Saint-Germain have, and their players delivered. Their four finishes were magnificent. Angel Di Maria looks rejuvenated since Julian Draxler has arrived. They look the real deal. Is this a false dawn? We'll have to wait and see. But right now, it doesn't look like it. And Paris Saint-Germain stuck their hand up as a real contender for this season's competition.
L'Equipe, the French sports daily, called it a prodigious performance. That was their front page. Is there really any chance of a Barcelona comeback at the Camp Nou in 3 weeks' time? It was a question for their head coach, Luis Enrique.
Every game has its own circumstances. We're in a very complicated situation, but we're still only at the halfway stage. The next game will be played in our stadium, in a different situation, and I haven't given up hope of the team making a fight of it in the next match. We'll have to score four goals or even five, but I repeat that we know what we're capable of doing to our opponents.
The defeat was Barca's joint heaviest in the competition. No side has ever overturned a four-goal deficit to progress in a UEFA Champions League knockout tie. Cavani on 34 goals this season. Where did Barcelona lose the game?
I think in midfield, first of all. I think they were, I used the word, overran, and they were. Verratti and Rabiot were absolutely brilliant. They harried and hassled Barcelona, who couldn't deal with them defensively. They pressured Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, whose, you know, footwork and distribution is normally so key to the way Barcelona build from the back. They were unable to do that. Tactically, Emery was brilliant. And I think Barcelona, you know, maybe some individual mistakes in all four of the goals. You know, Iniesta will be disappointed, I think, with the challenge on Di Maria for the third. Thomas Meunier for the fourth was allowed to run 40, 50 metres. No one tackled
him. No midfield challenge.
No midfield challenge. Lionel Messi gave the ball away in his own half for the first goal. For the second goal. Paris were all over Barcelona, quite literally. It was a magnificent performance for them. And in terms of the tie, you know, Barcelona, I think, on seven occasions have won by four clear goals this season at home. I don't doubt they can score four goals. I do doubt whether they can keep a clean sheet. And if Paris Saint-Germain score, Barca, because of the away goal, or no away goal for them, would have to get six. I can't see that happening.
It's only the second win in 24 attempts versus Barcelona for Emery. But notable that his players are in goal-scoring form. Draxler has 5-9 since joining. Di Maria 5-5 games as he celebrated his 29th birthday. Richard Kaufman on the show on Tuesday night was talking about the amount of games that Neymar, Messi and Suarez play, because they seem to play every game. They played against Alaves at the weekend when Barca would be expected to win. 13 fixtures since the turn of the year. Are you surprised that they've been so reliant, using them so often when they brought in players like Paco Alcácer in the summer?
Well, I think this has always been the accusation, hasn't it? Even when things are going right, it's the idea of a plan B. What if Messi, Suarez, Neymar aren't quite on their game, or a team manages to stop the supply line? Well, that happened, and Barcelona, we talk about game management, we'll talk about that with Arsenal later on in this, you know, the podcast, is that when it was 1 or 2 nil, nobody, you know, vastly experienced players, let alone Luis Enrique, nobody seemed to manage the situation and say, look, okay, come on everyone, let's just bed in. I know we're the great Barcelona, but maybe we shouldn't just be, you know, going for it as soon as
your point is that this is one of two legs.
It's one of two legs. I think there's also criticism of Luis Enrique in the Spanish press that Ivan Rakitic was on the bench when clearly things weren't going according to plan in midfield. And you almost thought, well, it can't be much worse in terms of being overrun by Paris Saint-Germain, even putting another midfielder in there, you know, just to try and quell this brilliant Paris attacking tide that it was for the whole 90 minutes. You have to give Unai Emery's side, though, all the credit in the world, and they will be so full of beans now and really believe, as you said, is it another false dawn? There's still a long way to go before we can talk about them winning the UEFA Champions League, which has always been their stated aim. They've never gone beyond the semi-finals, but they look right now like this might be their best opportunity.
Second leg of that game, Wednesday the 8th of March. A reminder, also on Tuesday, Benfica hosted Borussia Dortmund in the round of 16. Your first leg commentator was Mike Sewell.
Pizzi swings it in deep towards the edge of the six-yard area, headed down, and it's sent in the end. And Benfica take the lead right at the start of the second half through Kostas Mitroglou. The corner was headed down by Luis Sao. Mitroglou reacted quickest, and he poked the ball home. Benfica 1, Borussia Dortmund 0. That's handball, and that's a penalty to Dortmund. Clear as day. Nicola Rizzoli doesn't hesitate. A mistake by Fazer, and Dortmund have the chance to level. And it's now Aubameyang against Ederson, who saves, and there's no chance for a rebound. It's a poor penalty by Aubameyang. It is just not his night. Ederson denies him. Away by Jimenez. Volley back in, deflected and brilliantly saved acrobatically by Ederson. Not for the first time. He keeps Dortmund out.
Benfica with a famous win against Borussia Dortmund and a notable occasion for Luis Yao making his 500th Benfica appearance and getting an assist. His fellow centre-back Victor Lindelof knows how crucial their one goal advantage is going into what will be a very tough second leg.
A great team effort from us, and it was special for us also too, because it was the 500th game for Luis Yao also, so it was very important for us to win. Yeah, it felt very good.
Mitroglou with the winner, and Benfica managed to grind out the result and get themselves a win, Chris.
Yeah, they have the master finisher, Kostas Mitroglou, popped up, I think, a bit of a soft goal from Dortmund's point of view. You could see that from Thomas Tuchel's reaction on the bench. He was very disappointed. Luis Sao winning the header and ultimately Mitroglou reacting quicker than any of the Dortmund defenders. And what he could do, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang couldn't, partly because of the penalty miss, which was a disappointing penalty straight at Ederson. But boy, for all the performances, and this is a big shout given how many goals we've had and how many stories, I think Ederson may just pip it for man of the week for me, because he was heroic in goal. Simple as, you know, this young 23-year-old Brazilian, watched on by the Brazil assistant coach Silvinho and Claudio Taffarel, who's in charge of the goalkeepers. He hasn't made his international debut, it can't be far off. He made four or five outstanding saves, and what a first leg win for Benfica. A Dortmund were everybody's favourites despite their recent Bundesliga troubles, and they didn't get the away goal, and Benfica now going into the second leg will have real belief.
Rui Vitória said it was a beautiful exhibition from Ederson. Albola, the newspaper, proclaimed him Superman for his series of sensational saves. It was a disappointing night for Dortmund and their head coach, Thomas Tuchel, who saw his team dominate for large spells of the game.
Well, sometimes this is soccer. I mean, I think we had 3 minutes in this game where we lost a bit control and were a bit surprised and were not on the full level. And in these 3 minutes, they managed to score a goal against us with a corner kick. And we managed to have a lot of chances, a lot of big chances. We were very dominant, good energy, good structure. We did not give away counterattacks. And I'm very, very proud and very, very happy with what I saw. But I'm very unhappy, of course, with the result.
Dortmund beaten by Darmstadt at the weekend. They lose this game 3 weeks until the second leg. Chris, are Benfica favourites to go through?
Well, there's a question. Yes, they are, because they've won the first leg and they didn't concede a away goal. I think Dortmund may still just have enough. Thomas Tuchel was correct. They were probably the better team, certainly for large parts in Lisbon. They just couldn't find a way through Ederson, who had one of those nights. But if they create that many chances at home, I think they'll take at least two or three of them. Just one more on the goalkeeper. I like this. He said, I don't think I was the hero. I think you were, Ederson.
You were. You were, Ederson. Second leg of that one on Wednesday, the 8th of March. Next on the show, we have analysis and reaction from Wednesday night's matches.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til Rassismus.
Non au racisme.
Nein til Rassismus.
Nein al racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
The
You're listening to Match Day Live with Chris Parrott and me, Rob Daly. Our review of Wednesday's round of 16 action begins in Munich with another familiar UEFA Champions League matchup between Bayern and Arsenal. Adam Summerton, watch the first leg for Match Day Live.
It's with Robin on the right-hand side, cutting in on his left foot. Öztürk and does! And picks out the top corner. What a goal from Ian Robin! Corner comes in into the area. They took that one quickly, Arsenal. They've got a man down. On the referee here is given a penalty. Alexis Sanchez up against Manuel Neuer. Stud in the centre of his goal. Up steps Alexis Sanchez. Saved! Rebounds! He's put it in! Alexis Sanchez has done it for Arsenal! Lahm, first time crossing towards Lewandowski! Brilliant goal! Just what you've come to expect from Robert Lewandowski. Alonso now midway inside the Arsenal half. Lewandowski with a brilliant flicker chance, and it's taken. What a goal from Bayern. It's Thiago who's applied the finish. Thiago on the edge of the D, fires it in, and in it goes. Ospina down to his left, despairingly stuck out a right leg to try and keep it out, but he couldn't. It's a second for Thiago. Muller onto his left foot, great finish. Thomas Muller, he's only been on the pitch a few minutes, but he can celebrate a goal already. They have blown Arsenal away in this second half. Bayern 5, Arsenal 1.
1-1 at half-time in that game. Arsenal were starting to find their way into it. It didn't look like it would pan out that way. Let's hear from the man who scored the sensational opening goal of the night. Ian Robin reflects on another famous Bayern win.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, what else can I say? After 1-1 at halftime, we were, of course, not happy, especially the way we gave away the goal with a penalty. And then when the goalkeeper saved it, I think you have to put everything in not to let him shoot again. So that was the only criticism tonight, because the second half we played sometimes some amazing football and we really killed the game.
Well, no wonder that Bayern recently gave him a contract extension to 2018. Alongside me and Chris Parrott is Adam Summerton, our commentator for the game. Bayern were wonderful in that second half. One of their best performances of the season for you, Adam?
Yeah, I think that second 45 minutes, the best I've seen them play this season. They blew away an Arsenal side who came to Germany with a little bit of optimism, I think. I think there was a theory that maybe Bayern weren't quite the machine that they were, that we'd been so used to seeing them under Guardiola, and that there could be a chink of light there for Arsenal, who'd been knocked out at this stage six seasons running. And the first half suggested that could be the case. And I thought that they did very well in the first half, Arsenal, despite not having a great deal of possession. They seemed to get the tactics right, but the second half, how the story changed. Koscielny getting injured certainly played a part. The three goals came almost immediately. Three goals came immediately after he got injured. But still, I think that, and Wenger is, I don't know if I can just mention some quotes that have come out here from Arsene Wenger. I think he sums it up when he talks about a mental collapse from his players. I mean, that's not my words, they're his. The last 25 minutes was a nightmare for us. We looked like we had no response. And I think that says it all, really.
Certainly does. Let's hear from the man in the opposing dugout now, the Bayern head coach, Carlo Ancelotti.
Today was a good game. I think that we started well. After that, Arsenal were able to equalize the game. We had a little problem at the end of the first half. But second half, the spirit was good. Played fantastic football with intensity, with balance, and everything was okay.
Many people wouldn't have seen necessarily Bayern that many times this season, Adam, and would have seen Thomas Muller on the bench and thought, why? And when you see the performance from Thiago tonight, do you think that justifies the decision for Carlo Ancelotti?
Yeah, well, it's clearly a really difficult decision for him because of the history as much as anything that Muller has with the club and the performances that he's delivered. But there's no doubt that he hasn't been quite the same player just of late. Certainly isn't racking up anything like the numbers that we've become used to seeing him. And Ancelotti is a coach who isn't afraid to make big decisions, as he's shown right throughout his career. But what he's also great at is man management. And I think that the way he brought Muller on when Arsenal were looking so vulnerable, you could even argue that is another example of Ancelotti's good management, because he's got a player on the bench who'll be desperate to get on. He'll think, he'll want to prove me wrong, sticks him on, he gets a goal, and suddenly everybody's happy, even the player who got left out. So I think praise Ancelotti for that. But Thiago was superb today, one of the pick of the bunch, and of course
combined brilliantly with Lewandowski. There's a great understanding there, which again backs up your point about why maybe Muller's finding it difficult to get in the team right now.
Yeah, but that man Lewandowski for me was the key. It was 1-1 Arsenal for after being really dominated early on, got back into the game, got the penalty, and then Lewandowski in the space of 3 second-half minutes, the header for the 2-1 goal was a brilliant individual header from Philipp Lahm's cross, and then the most gorgeous bit of skill to release Thiago to make it 3-1, and all of a sudden it was game over, and then we saw that mental fragility that Arsene Wenger has talked about, and the lack of belief really that Arsenal seemed to have that they could get back into the game and therefore the tie, and Bayern were brilliant. Bayern looked like a really big, strong UEFA Champions League team, and this was billed as a game where we were going to see exactly where Ancelotti's Bayern were. Well, the answer for Europe and for the rest of the Bundesliga is they're fairly far on in Ancelotti's game plan.
OK, let's hear from Arsene Wenger, who was asked, where did it all go wrong tonight?
The real problems came was after the third goal, I felt, because we lost our organisation and we looked mentally very jaded and very vulnerable from that moment onwards. And after the last 25 minutes was a nightmare for us because we looked like we had no response.
The thoughts of Arsene Wenger there, the Arsenal manager, his team have been beaten 5-1. And are set to go out in the round of 16 for the seventh season in a row, bar a miracle, in North London in 3 weeks' time. Let's turn our attention now to the other match of the night. It was Real Madrid hosting Napoli at the Bernabeu. It was watched by Phil Blacker.
Through the middle. It's taken on first time. Oh, incredible finish from Insigne. Stunning goal, and Napoli have their noses in front already. Carvajal with a cross, and there's the towering header from Benzema. It's the equalising goal for Real Madrid. That has not taken long. Cristiano Ronaldo, wide on the right-hand side, taking the return pass from James Rodriguez, skipping towards the byline. Ronaldo looks up, pulls it back. Toni Kroos hits it and scores for Real Madrid. Modric to James Rodriguez. Benzema takes over, back in towards James again. And then it's out from distance. Oh! And thundered in. Sensational goal from Casemiro. 3-1 Real Madrid as the holders flex their muscles in Madrid in defence of their trophy. That's a stunning goal though. It's 3-1. It's Casemiro.
Well, it was his first ever UEFA Champions League goal in a Real Madrid shirt for Casemiro, and what a goal it was too. Let's hear from the man who scored Real Madrid's second on the night, the German international Toni Kroos.
We kept going to play our style, and we took the pressure very high on the defense today and a big part of the game, and I think this was the key for the win today. For me, of course, it's great to help the team with goals, but for me, goals mean nothing special for me. For me, it's more important the result and the way we play, and that's more my job, the way we play, that we dominate, and we did, and that's why I'm happy today.
A wonderful goal for Toni Kroos, made by Ronaldo. In fact, all four were rather special at the Bernabeu. Let's speak to our commentator for this one now, Phil Blacker. Phil, were you impressed with Real Madrid's mental strength to come back from that early setback of the Insigne goal?
I was. I thought it was a hugely impressive performance from the holders. I know they went through the group stage unbeaten, but there were still maybe a few question marks over the defence of their trophy. And we know, of course, how difficult it is to defend at this title. Nobody's done it in the UEFA Champions League era. But Real Madrid, I think, sent out a real statement of intent that they're not going to let their grip go easily after that. The way that they responded, and it was almost instant because it was a shocking start for them. It was a shock to the system. They'd been on top. They were dominating right from the off. And then Insigne, from about 30 metres out, completely caught out Keylor Navas. Wonderful piece of quick thinking. Brilliantly executed finish. Outrageous goal, really. And yet Real Madrid barely blinked. They were straight back at it, straight back into their stride, helped by the fact they were level just 10 minutes later. And then at the start of the second half, looked maybe as if they come out with slightly different tactics and were just sitting back a little. And then Ronaldo went through the gears and made the goal for Toni Kroos. Again, that was a wonderful finish, full of composure. And then just that sensational strike from Casemiro, only 5 minutes later as well, to give them that vital bit of breathing space. And still, they could have had more. Ronaldo didn't score it at this stage, which is a real rarity now. He got 14 goals, I think, over the last 5 years. He'd scored in his last 10 matches in the round of 16. They get three at home. He's not on the score sheet, but he was heavily involved, had chances. Equally so too did Napoli at the other end. Dries Mertens, who's been in such a rich vein of goal-scoring form, he had his opportunities in the second half. Didn't maybe create as much as they would have hoped, Napoli, but after going 3-1 behind, they did have chances. If they'd got another away goal, it really would have put a different spin on things. But I think Real Madrid would argue that they deserved maybe at least a two-goal lead, and it gives them... You know, it hasn't settled the tie by any stretch of the imagination, but it gives them a huge advantage going to Naples.
What chance for Napoli in the Stadio San Paolo then, Phil? Because I think Maurizio Sarri said, well, we're just going to have to try and win the game 2-0. Did they show enough to suggest that they can beat Real Madrid by two goals?
Not quite, I don't think, on the evidence of this performance, but there was the promise, perhaps, of more to come. And when they get to San Paolo in front of their own fans, what an occasion that is going to be as they try and reach the quarterfinals for the first time in their history. It is possible. They've got every chance, I think, of scoring a couple of goals. It's whether they can keep Real Madrid out at the other end. That is much more uncertain after this display, because Napoli will score goals against anybody. Top scorers in Serie A this season. They displayed their threat at the Bernabeu. They were as good as Maurizio Sarri's word in their approach to the game, that they did go and attack it and commit numbers forward. They will have to do that again. That will play to their strengths, of course, because really it's the only way they know how to approach it. But to keep the clean sheet at home against the reigning champions in 3 weeks, that is going to be the tallest of orders, which would perhaps undermine their chances of progress. But they're not out of it yet.
Well, for a former Barcelona goalkeeper, it's always going to be tough losing in that manner at the Bernabeu. Let's hear from a very disappointed Napoli goalkeeper, and Pepe Reina.
It's a pity because we have started the game in the right way, going forward without any fear, playing high, having a little bit the ball and doing the transitions quick after our goal. I think obviously Madrid makes you feel under pressure and you have to defend a little bit deeper. So that's why we lost the game, because at the end of the day we were too far off their goal and it was almost impossible to make the counter-attacks.
The thoughts of Napoli goalkeeper Pepe Reina there. A quick one, Phil, on the performance of Cristiano Ronaldo. We're seeing him evolve this season. He's still scoring plenty of goals. But in terms of that acceleration, he's perhaps slightly slowed down. What did you make to his showing?
I thought it was a relatively unselfish performance from Ronaldo, because he was very much involved in the team collective. A little unusual for him not to take centre billing and get his goals again. I mentioned the remarkable record, 14 goals over the last 5 years at this round of 16 stage alone in the competition. 95 goals, of course, in the UEFA Champions League. Only a couple, say only in the group stages. But he was heavily involved in this game. It was a slight doubt, actually, before the match because of an injury picked up at the weekend. Didn't train on Monday. You would not have known that from his performance. And the fact that Zidane, I think, has moulded this side, got the balance right in the dressing room. Ronaldo can be, when he needs to be, one of the 11 rather than the superstar in the side. I think it really bodes well for them going forward.
OK, Phil, a quick final word from you. Your man of the match from the Bernabeu.
Plenty of candidates in the white of Real Madrid. I'm going to go for Casemiro. It doesn't always get the headlines because of his role in that midfield, breaking play up. He did that job to perfection again, and then to top it all off with that stunning strike deserves the accolade, I think, on its own.
OK, Phil, thank you. Adam Summerton, your man of the match, a tough one from Bayern's 5-1 win over Arsenal.
Yeah, Thiago, two goals and assist, and I think just generally his all-round play was brilliant.
Chris, I think I know who you're going to go for. From Tuesday's games, I've asked you for a man of the match from both those games.
Angel Di Maria and Adrien Rabiot of Paris Saint-Germain, special mentions, but Edison for Benfica. Magnificent goalkeeping performance to seal a 1-0 win.
Renamed Superman by the Portuguese press. Gents, thank you very much. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live. We've had two thrilling nights at the start of the knockout stages of this competition. On Tuesday, Paris Saint-Germain was simply brilliant in beating Barcelona 4-0, and Benfica secured a narrow first leg lead over Borussia Dortmund. Then on Wednesday, Bayern beat Arsenal by 5-1 in Munich, and the holders, Real Madrid, managed to come back from their early goal down to beat the Italian side Napoli 3-1. A reminder, join us from 19:30 Central European time on Tuesday, the 21st of February, for commentary of Manchester City against the French side Monaco, and extended updates too from Leverkusen versus Atletico. And then on Wednesday, the 22nd, our main game is Porto versus Juventus. Plus, we'll bring you the action from a big night for the English champion, Sevilla, against Leicester City as well. Until then, from Chris Parrott, Phil Blacker, Adam Summerton, and myself, Rob Daly, it's good night.
Headed down, and it's sent in the end. And Benfica take the lead right at the start of the second half through Kostas Mitroglou.
Left foot, great finish! Thomas Muller! They have blown Arsenal away in this second half. Bayern 5, Arsenal 1.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.